All right, who in here is not a morning person? Like, we're talking, it's 10:16 on a Saturday, and you would still be sleeping. Is anybody there? Okay, thank you. Yes. You are my people. Raise your hand if you're not a morning person, but you are a night owl, okay? So a few more hands have raised there. How late are we talking? Like, regular bedtime is past midnight? Is that what we're doing? Good. Me too. It's probably not great, yet I do have to be up because I have this thing called work, which I do get to work in a church, and I'm in youth ministry, so I just can say, like, oh, you know, I was hanging out late with the students. I was probably playing video games, if we're being honest, and, you know, but that's a form of ministry, too. So, yes, I'm not a morning person. If I didn't have kids, I would probably still be asleep, but once you have kids, it's hard to sleep in. But I still find a way. Is that right, Brett? Is that fair? Yeah, she can vouch. I still find a way to sleep in. How many of you are morning people and you are like in your element because not only are you awake right now, wide awake on a Saturday, but you are also with some of your closest friends. Anybody in the building, would you say that? You'd raise your hand, a few of you? Okay, a few of you. Who was here, who was not here last night? Anybody not here last night for the session? Thank you. Were you dancing? No? Where were you?
Basketball game.
Oh, shut up. Were you, you were playing a basketball game? Okay, I'm not good at that. I'm 5'3". And guys, the craziest thing happened in my youth group the other week, okay? And some of you will appreciate this more than others. I'm asking middle schoolers, which this is a dangerous question for anybody these days because we don't like these things anymore. These things called New Year's resolutions, right? Like, we don't do that. The reality is, if we don't set the bar at all, we can't fail to reach it, right? And yet, I said, hey, are there any goals that you guys have? And a middle school girl said, by the end of 2026, I want to dunk a basketball, okay? And I'm like, listen, like, that's impressive for anybody, like, a dude in middle school. And I went to school with a guy named Marlon, okay? He was in eighth grade, but he was already, like, 6'5" and had a beard. This was, like, if you look up pictures of, like, what LeBron James or this guy, I think his name was Greg Odom. If you look up Greg Odom when he was, like, a freshman in high school, he looked like my friend Marlon. And Marlon could dunk a basketball, okay, but he's 6'5" in eighth grade. This girl, I said, hey, what? How tall are you? Like, you mean dunk a basketball, like, on a Nerf? Like, no, she means a 10-foot standard goal, and she's 5'5". And so, I don't know, like, all things are possible in Christ and all that kind of thing, but, like, you're talking about some supernatural hops, okay? So whatever program she gets on, if she's able to do it, I'm going to try to do it. Did you win your basketball game last night? No. We don't talk. Okay, sorry. No, I didn't ask that. Don't worry. Anybody else not here last night? A few of you? Okay. You won your basketball game? Were you playing him? You were playing his team? Oh, okay. Yeah, same school. Where you guys go to school? Greer Middle College. Shout out to GMC. Is that what we call it? Yeah, GMC. Good. Go Greer Middlers. The Blazers. Okay, that's right. I should know. Guys, there's way more schools than there used to be in Greenville County. Is that fair to say? Back in my day, it was the prison of Hillcrest and, you know, Malden and Wade Hampton. And that was it, basically. That's not true either. But, guys, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you want, to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read one verse from there, and then we'll also read a verse from Romans. Again, similar to last night, I think that the verses that we're covering this morning and really what we're covering for the entirety of this this retreat. It's not like we're going through one book and staying in one book, although that would be fine and dandy too. But we're hitting like some of the key verses. Again, like, write these on your heart. Get these tattooed on your forehead so that your neighbor can read them. Don't actually do that, okay? Unless Tim were to tell you to do it, and then do it. But these are some, like, journal them, make them your iPad or your phone background or whatever. Like, do something to get these memorized because they are super important. Last night, we finished by talking about, I'm going to throw up a beautiful picture, this story about a dude who was tending the springs. He was the keeper of the springs in the mountains. Can anybody give me three things? It doesn't have to be related to the story from last night. But three people, give me one thing that you remember from last night's message, okay? And it can be really, really simple. It can just be something you wrote. It can just be the verse that we covered. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, really good. That's a word that we need to remember, right? Those words exactly did not come from Scripture, right? But that's important. Now, the people you spend the most time with are the people that you start to become. They shape you. Yep, front row, sir. Yeah, these are huge, guys. These are game-changing things. Yeah, that the first hour, like the first minutes even of your day, how you spend your day sets you up. And the example we gave last night, if you weren't here, you don't remember, was talking about how often so many of us, the first thing we do is we roll over and we check our screens, or we turn on the TV, or we do something that like probably starts to take our minds and our emotions. We talked about the heart. Maybe this is one of the ones you're going to say, so I'll steal it from you. But it automatically takes us on this roller coaster of emotions and starts our day maybe at a really high as far as like, man, we're happy, we're excited, we're pumped for the day. But oftentimes, especially the things out in the world and on the internet, the things that get clicks, that get views, it sets us up for, if we're being honest, like anxiety and sadness and like just being on edge, or maybe even like just being angry. So yeah, really big. Anybody else? Third one. From last night. Yes, ma'am.
Living like we are set apart starts in our heart.
Yeah, living like we're set apart starts in the heart. Which, perfect segue. That's what we're talking about for this whole weekend, right? We're talking about this idea. Winter Retreat 2026, set apart. We're talking about this idea that God has set us apart on purpose, for a purpose, okay? And so last night we started talking about how so much of this starts in our heart. We looked at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We read some wise words from Solomon, and he was talking about how, hey, your heart is like the command center of the rest of your life. So what you put in is going to decide what comes out. What you put in gives instructions, gives directions, gives buttons to press for what comes out. So there's a lot of ways that we can see how that plays out in our life, but we talked about some of them last night. Here's one thing that I don't want you to miss, though, okay? Last night we talked about how we are, we give this little story, I read this little story of the keeper of the springs. Solomon says in that verse in Proverbs 4, he says that, hey, so from this command center, what goes in comes out, and either a healthy spring of water comes out, healthy waters of life come out, or the opposite, unhealthy waters of life come out. So here is what you and I are responsible for. Is keeping the spring, keeping the waters of our life clean. Meaning we're actually intentional with the things that we take in. We're intentional with the people that we hang out with. We're intentional with the podcasts. I forgot, I should have, I'm a podcast junkie. Anybody else a podcast junkie? You just love podcasts. When you're in the shower, you gotta put one on. Maybe that's too much information. I would never do that. I do it every day. But with whatever you're consuming, it's shaping you in some way, shape, or form. That's really, really important. Let's be intentional about that. Our responsibility is to be the keeper of our spring. Here's what I don't want you to miss, and this is why we have multiple sessions. In the end, though, we are not the source of our spring. Like, if you think about it, this keeper of the spring, he's tending to the water that's flowing down from the mountain. He's not up there creating the water, and he certainly didn't build the mountain. He's just taking care of what he's been given to steward. Does that make sense? God with me if you're tracking with that. So we've been called to take care of what we've been given to steward, but there is someone who is the source of this life, of the heart that's a command center, and ultimately of the living water that flows through it. And you guys already know, because you've maybe spent some time in this youth group or spent some time around church, that the source of life for us, the source of health, the source of freedom, the source of living water is God. So here's where we find ourselves, is in Galatians 1, verse 15. And I'm going to read it for us. Anybody remember, do you know who wrote the book of Galatians?
Paul.
Yeah, good job. You got like coin flip shot, okay? If anybody says, hey, New Testament, which is the back third of your Bible, who wrote it? You got a 50-50 shot that it's Paul or some other random person, okay? So always say Paul pretty much, and you'll probably get it right. So Paul's writing to a group of people, and he's writing to these new Christians who are hearing some false truths. They're hearing from some people that the Bible calls false prophets. And they're telling these new Christians are like, hey, by the way, so if you actually want God to love you, if you actually want to stay in good relationship with God, yeah, Jesus died for you and all that kind of stuff, but you need to make sure that you follow all these rules and you make sure that you don't do these things and that you have all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed and you do these things to a T. In fact, you should just live like the Jews live, where pretty much their relationship with God is solely dependent on how they live, what they do, their accomplishments, their achievements. Does their good outweigh their bad? Which, maybe this is important for you to know about me. That's actually how I thought about God for a really long time in my life. So I started coming to what's now Fellowship Greenville when I was in sixth grade. But before that, I actually grew up Catholic. And my take from what I learned in the Catholic Church was that it was a lot like what these people were being tempted to listen to that Paul's writing to in Galatians, where it was, for me, it was, if there even is a God, he's really controlling. Like, all he wants to do, this talk of freedom, that doesn't seem to make sense, because all he wants to do is give me a list of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, and I just have to follow those rules, and that doesn't sound fun. That sounds more like he wants to control my life. Then number two, I thought, God's probably really angry with me. Because I knew, even as a young sixth grader, that I had fallen way short. And whatever those bars and rules and whatever control looked like for God, that I could never, ever meet it. And so I had decided pretty much that if there was a God, because I wasn't certain on that he wasn't for me for those two reasons. And that track, like, I didn't, just because I started going to church, I mean, hopefully you guys are here. Like if you're here, you understand this. But just because I was in church didn't mean I was following Jesus. And so for me, it was, yeah, I started coming to fellowship when I was in sixth grade. But it took several years until I was in the eighth grade that I actually realized, hey, I can't help but surrender. And Jesus saved me when I was in eighth grade. And that's another part of the story. But two things to know as we approach these verses. I thought, hey, God was super controlling. I thought God was super angry. And so I need to follow all of these things. And that's what the people that Paul's writing to are tempted to do as well. And so here's what he says in Galatians 1, verse 15. I know it's kind of short, and I know it cuts off, but let's roll with this. He says, but when he who had set me apart, there's our language for the weekend, before I was born, and who called me by his grace. So here's what Paul's doing. And again, I know it cuts off, but these few words are important. This part of the sentence is important. Paul's talking about, hey, a little bit, if you read the rest of chapter 1, his life before Jesus. He talks about how he was a Pharisee. And then he talks about this moment when he realized, though, hey, but the Lord has called me. He has set me apart. And he did that before I was even born. This is kind of interesting to think about with Paul. Before Paul started following Jesus, you know, Paul had this crazy experience where he met Jesus, the road to Damascus experience, maybe you've heard about it. Jesus blinds him, and ultimately Paul ends up giving his life to him. But before Paul met Jesus, here's what Paul's entire life was built on. Him doing what he could to set himself apart. Paul's entire life was built on following rules, checking boxes, making sure that he said the right things and how he prayed, did the right things, at least in public, that people could see, so that everybody knew, and at the end of the day, he knew, hey, I did all the right things for God today, and so I must be right with God. Paul's life was about him doing what he could to set himself apart. And I think there's probably a section of people in this room who, if you're not careful, you can easily find yourself doing the same thing. That your faith has become, we'll kind of talk about this maybe tomorrow morning, a lot more like religion than it has relationship. Where, for the most part, your faith, maybe you never thought about it this way, but the way that you're like working for your faith is dependent on you. And like where you feel that you're at in your relationship with God is not dependent on him and what you know to be true about him, but it's dependent on, well, have I like done all the things? Have I shown up to church lately? Have I been a part of small group? Have I been? reading my Bible in the mornings? Did I make sure that I was praying before every, like, whatever your boxes are to check off, it's so easy because we live in a culture that's built on this. We live in a culture that you don't get something unless you earn it. You don't get something unless you work hard for it. You don't get something unless you, you know, have the education or you have the hours put into it or you have the money that you need to do it. Like, you don't get unless you already have. But Paul's saying here, he's not saying, hey, but then I realized that God set me apart once I had completed that thing. No. He's, what does he say in verse 15? He says, and who called me by his grace? It says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born. Like, Paul hadn't even been born. And yet he's saying, hey, it wasn't about my works, because I wasn't born, but it was about God. Somebody said, I think one of our sisters in here yesterday said, hey, there's this reality in the scriptures, it seems that God chooses who he sets apart. And Paul's realizing, hey, I did nothing. God did everything. And for some reason, in his wisdom and by his grace, he decided to choose me even before I was born. We'll drill into a little bit more of this tonight. But there's a reality here that some of us need to step into that looks like taking this weight off our shoulders where we're trying to earn God's favor and earn God's grace. Maybe I can put it this way. How many of you enjoyed the snow days? Anybody enjoy the snow days? Yes. How many of you, part of the reason you enjoyed the snow days? Because you didn't have to go to school. To be honest, some of you are like, I don't go to school anyway. I'm homeschooled. I know, it's a large group of us in here, okay? But if you enjoy the snow days, it'd be really weird for us to look outside and see the snow on the ground and see the ice on the ground and be like, oh, I want to enjoy it. That might have been a little weird, sorry. I want to enjoy it, but I need to make sure that I earn this snow day first. Right? That's kind of weird. Like, I don't know what that would look like. Like, I need to make sure that I go do my snow dance. I don't know. Or, hey, but before I can do this snow, I need to make sure that I apologize and that I ask for forgiveness from so-and-so. What? I know, it sounds really weird. Because, like, the snow's just there. It's just given to you. And in some small way, that's a picture of the grand reality that God has given you freedom and life and a new heart, springs of life, waters of life. He's done it freely as a gift. He's done it by his grace. Grace is something that you've been given that you did not earn. It's a free gift. And Paul's saying, hey, in case you're wondering, yeah, but like, what if I do this and what if I do that? Even Paul, who's like one of the staple guys of our faith, like one of the guys who, when I get to heaven, I've got so many questions for, one of the heroes of our faith, he says, hey, I didn't earn it. God gave it to me freely. And man, that should take such a weight off of so many of us in this room who are tempted to perform. There's another side of this, though, where it would also be really weird if you looked outside at that snow and you said, man, I just don't know if I'm good enough for this snow. Now, it sounds weird, right? I just don't know if I'm, like, this snow, surely this snow was for somebody else. Like, maybe you've had that when it comes to a gift. Like, somebody's given you an anonymous gift and you're not really sure who it's for. It says your name, but you're like, man, this is like, okay, who gave this to me? Is this like a prank? I don't know if you've ever had this happen before. I've had, maybe it's like a check that comes in the mail or something like that, where it's like, man, I just was not expecting this. Like, surely this is a mistake. Let me call, you know, whoever it is that I think sent me the money and make sure, like, did you mean, like, some of us, maybe we're not tempted to do the thing where we have to achieve, but some of us, we are our own worst critic. We beat ourselves up. Like, when it comes to the voices inside of our head, it's not other people's voices that are the most negative to us, it's actually our own voice. Where we know the sin, or we know the struggle, we know the places that we fall short, and we can't stop reminding ourselves about that. We can't stop living in the guilt. I think if that's you, this verse, Paul's got a word for you as well. And we'll touch on this more tonight. But God came to me before I was born, knowing all the things that I would do. And that's when he chose me. That's when he set me apart. Paul, remember, Paul may be one of the heroes of our faith. But before that, he was one of the biggest persecutors of our faith as well. Like, man, you think your stuff is bad, your stuff is heavy, and I'm not saying that it's not. I don't want to make light of it, because I think God looks at sin, and it is very serious to him. But dude, Paul was a part of imprisoning and killing Christians. And yet Paul's able to see, hey, this gift of grace was even for me. Man, if one of the struggles that you have is believing, man, I'm just not good enough. I don't think God's for me. How could he love someone like me? If he was able to love Paul, maybe we can take Paul at his word this morning. Maybe that's a form of freedom for you, that if he was able to love Paul, knowing all the sin that he would do, being there for every bit of it, meeting him in the midst of it, I mean, there is hope for you when it comes to this grace given to us by God. So what do you do, though, when you realize this grace? Maybe a way we can say this is that God has set us apart by his grace, not because of your achievements. And that's a way that we can sum up what we're talking about here in Galatians 1:15. God has set us apart by his grace, not because of your achievements. When we realize that that's the case, when we realize, okay, so we don't earn it, and also God meets me exactly where I'm at, like even if I think super lowly of myself, even if I think super highly of myself, God is there, he's giving me this gift of grace, what should our response be? Turn over in Romans to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, another couple verses that are worth setting your mind on. I think that the most appropriate response to God's free gift of grace is that you and I would live a life that honors him. And that's what Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are talking about. Who do you think Romans was written by?
Paul.
Nice, guys. 50-50 shot, and you hit it. And here, if you read the first 11 chapters of Romans, all right, you ever want to know what we believe as Christians? Romans is a, like, in-depth look at some theology, doctrine, like what we believe as Christians. Read the first half, or the first 11 chapters, rather, of the book of Romans, and you're going to find some deep stuff. You're going to find some stuff. You're going to be going to Nick and going to Tim, going to your life group leaders and asking questions. That's great. I think that's important. I think we should ask questions about our faith. We should seek it out on our own. If you have doubts, it doesn't mean you're out, but it's what you do with your doubts that counts, okay? Yes, that rhymes again. I know it's cheesy, but it helps me remember. So maybe it'll be helpful for you. And then here, so first 11 chapters of Romans are about, like, hey, what we believe about God, what we believe about our place now with him. And then there's, like, this pivot point, which is these two verses in Romans chapter 12. And Paul starts to kind of unpack all these ways of what it looks like to live for God, to live as people who are set apart. And here's what he starts out with. It's kind of fun because it actually kind of connects and merges these things that we're talking about right now, including last night. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living, holy, and acceptable, a living sacrifice. That's the important word I left out. As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, a couple huge things in here. One is this idea, I think it connects directly back to what we talked about last night, that we would not be conformed to the ways of this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What do you guys think? What do you think it means to conform to the ways of this world? Give me some language for that.
Like
What do you think it means to be conformed to the ways of the world? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, start acting like the world. Start following the ways of the world, the things that the world says. Yeah.
To me, conform has this idea of getting squished into a mold. Right.
Yes. That's awesome. Yeah, get squished into a mold. Anybody else? Maybe one more about conform? Yeah.
Like the herd mindset.
Yeah, the herd mindset. Is that what they call it in Stranger Things? What's the hive mind, okay? The hive mind. Sorry, maybe we're not allowed to mention Stranger Things. One more. Yeah, fearing man rather than God. These are really good, guys. One of the things that came to my mind was our friend in the back. Is that Stink Bug? Who was Stink Bug last night? Stink Bug, where are you at? Yeah, one of the things that comes to mind with conform is the... You're Stink Bug over here?
Okay.
Oh, you got some for conform? Yeah, one more, yeah. Yeah, so the finding fulfillment in God, finding fulfillment in the world. You guys are sharp, man. You're on it. These are the morning people who are raising their hand, probably. Yeah, this idea of conform does, I think, it has to do with, hey, you're being shaped by some outside force. And when Paul describes it here, he's saying, hey, do not be conformed by the world, right? Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. So he's saying, hey, there's the world. Ultimately, there's the enemy. There's our fleshy desires. Don't let those things be what shapes you. Don't be shaped by those things. But what does he say? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So if we talk about what it means to be conformed, what does it mean to be transformed by the renewing of the mind? Who wants to answer some of that? Front row again? Yeah, to follow God. Love that. Who else wants to put some language to that? What do you think it means to be transformed by the renewal of our mind? Yeah.
Realizing that you're a sinner and you need Jesus to save you.
Love it. It's having this mindset. I am a sinner. I have fallen short. I need a Savior, and that's found in Jesus. Good. Anybody else? Yeah.
Like, it's where you change both your identity and your actions. Mm-hmm. And like, everything about you is just a complete contrast to what it was.
Yeah. You change your identity and your actions. That sounds, in some ways, said what you do now is a contrast to what it was, right? Kind of sounds like some repentance, maybe? Yeah?
It's like shedding your old life of sin and darkness.
Good.
Being transformed into what God originally made you be.
Love it. Yeah, shedding your old ways, putting on the new ways, yeah? Anybody, was there one more in the back? Does somebody have one in the back? Maybe I just am seeing phantom hands, okay? Guys, this being transformed by the renewal of your mind, to me, sounds a lot like being the one who is the keeper of our spring. Being the one who is considerate about, hey, what's actually going into our mind? Because what's going into your mind eventually starts to take root in your heart, starts to be from where you live from. All these things are connected. I know sometimes we're tempted to like, oh, let me just, what should I read today? And we flip through the Bible and we land on something. It's like picking a destination on a map at random, right? But it's all connected. So Paul's saying, hey, once you realize the gift of grace that's been given to you, once you realize the snow day that is at hand, why would you not enjoy it? Why would you not embrace it? You don't have to keep working to earn it. You don't have to keep beating yourself up until whatever you think is going to happen happens. Give your life to that. Give yourself to that. Go out and play. And the way that Paul talks about it is he says, hey, you should be a living sacrifice. That all of your life should be on the altar before God. Saying, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. And he says, verse 2, so don't let me be conformed to the ways of this world, but let me be transformed by you, Lord. Would you look at my heart? Would you be the one who helps me filter things, what comes in and what stays out? Would you be the one who sets the direction of my life? Would all of my life be given to you? How could you not respond with a life of thankfulness once you realize the gift of God's grace that's been given to you? So here's where we're going to end this morning. I think one of the biggest things, like all of this sounds good when we talk about it. All of this sounds good when you read it in scriptures. But I think one of the places that we have a huge problem is when rubber meets the road and real life happens, we're really easy to forget. So this is why, maybe Tim or Nick, or you've heard Pastor North Hills mention this idea, but this is why I think it's incredibly important for us to over and over and over again teach the gospel to ourselves. Meaning, remind ourselves of what's true. Remind yourselves, hey, I don't have to achieve because God's given it to me as a free gift. Remind yourselves, hey, it doesn't matter how low on the rung you think you are, God sees you and he's chosen you and he's for you and he's given you this free gift of grace. We have to remind ourselves of these things because we very quickly forget and then we find ourselves in the spiral that we started in. So here's what I want you to do. You can write these down, or you can write some of these thoughts down, or you can just like close your journal. Here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the verses that we've read so far on the screen, again, because I think they're incredible verses, and I want to give you like about a minute on each verse to just pray whatever comes to your mind in regards to it, okay? So I'm going to put up, I'll tell you what verses, I'm going to put up that Proverbs 4, I'm going to put up that Galatians 1, and then I'm going to put up that Romans 12. And so like with the Proverbs verse, let's go ahead and put it up. We got it up. Thank you, Tech Team. You're awesome. This Proverbs verse, here's what I want you to think about. And keep your heart with all vigilance. Guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. I want you to ask God, would you help me to do this? All right? With the Galatians verse, put up the Galatians verse. When he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace, I want you to ask God, hey, Lord, would you remind me today of this free gift of grace? Wherever you fall on that spectrum, if it's striving for achievement and earning that grace, or if it's thinking that you're so low that you don't deserve that grace, whatever it is, ask God to help you combat that. And then in this final verse of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, this whole verse, hey, Lord, help me to live a life that honors you. Would you transform my mind? Help me not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by you, by your words, by your kindness, by your forgiveness, by your grace, by your freedom. Those are the things that I want you guys to be praying for. So I'll kind of lead you through it a little bit, but for the most part, it's going to be like 60-ish seconds of silence for each verse, just with time for you to ask God, hey, let these verses wash over me. Remind me of this truth. Because if you're honest, you're like me, and you're quick to forget too. So let's do this together. The first verse we're going to do is going to be Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. You're just going to ask God, whatever comes to your mind as you read this verse, on your mark, get set, pray. This might be a little different. If you're unsure what to do, just read the verse to yourself and then just let the Lord guide your thoughts. That's Proverbs 4:23. Let's go to that Galatians 1:15. When the mark gets set, pray the things that come to your mind as you read that verse. Thank you. the last two verses that we read through this morning. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Go ahead and pray through those verses. Mark, get set, pray. Help us to see you as the origin of all good things in our life, the origin of life itself, that your free gift of grace has brought us from death to life. You've called us to put off the old ways and the old grave clothes and put on your ways, your life. God, would you regularly remind us, would you transform us by your words, whether it's words that we've read in scripture, or maybe even some of us connect with song, and it's the things that we sing that are so much of what we sing is taken from your word. Would you let these things wash over us? Would you remind us regularly of the truths of who you are and who we are in you? And would those things, from the transforming of our mind, the changing of our heart, Lord, would from our lives flow a life that honors you, that reflects who you are well to the world around us, that is a walking, living sacrifice that invites others who haven't yet tasted and seen how good you are into that life as well. Would we more and more start to be people of the kingdom? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.